40. Greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. Let's stand up and put our hands together for the 31st Africa Cup of Nations football tournament, which officially kicks off Saturday in Libreville, Gabon. In the opening match, Gabon will go against Nations Cup debutante Guinea-Bissau, and that will be followed by a game between Burkina Faso, a 2013 Nations Cup finalist, and four-time Nations Cup champion Cameroon. Football fans are streaming into Gabon's capital ahead of the matches. Moki Edwin Kinzeka sets the scene for us in Libreville.
Thousands of football fans have arrived at the Liomba International Airport for the 2017 Africa Football Cup of Nations, or AFCON. One of the travelers Wednesday was Idrisu Abo, a 45-year-old official from the Chadian Ministry of Sports. He says long visa procedures are making it difficult for people to travel to Gabon. He says he expected to be given some preference because his country, like Gabon, Cameroon, Central African Republic, Equatorial Guinea, and the Republic of Congo, is a member of the Central African Economic and Monetary Community, yet he was asked to pay a $100 visa fee at the airport. He says he wants that evil spirit that has hindered integration in Central African countries to be immediately chased away so that Cameroonian travels feels free Gabon, just like a Gabonese in Cameroon or Congo and all other Central African countries. On the streets of Libreville, discussions are about the tournament. Taxi driver Mayang Andre says he has already increased his daily earnings from $40 to $100 and is still expecting more.
L'Afrique.
He says the whole of Africa will focus attention on Gabon because of the football tournament, and as such, he is ready to receive visitors and increase his income. He says his wish is for all participating teams and their supporters to embrace the virtues of fair play. Popular sports are receiving facelifts here at a nightclub called Pose Administrative. At the Liberty Avenue, businessman Etoga Elvis has bought two giant flat screens. He says he expects to accommodate fans who cannot afford to watch the game in person.
Many people prefer watching their matches in drinking spots because there is a lot of ambience and they share their experiences. For instance, when a goal is scored, people jubilate together and they are so happy, support players that they love most. Sometimes when a player doesn't actually perform the way they had expect the player to perform, they sometimes argue. At times you feel as being in the football field.
The tournament was originally scheduled to take place in Libya, but in 2014, the Confederation of African Football changed the location due to the ongoing conflict there. In Gabon, a disputed presidential election in which incumbent Ali Bongo was declared the winner cast a shadow over the country's readiness for the tournament. The spokesperson for the local organizing committee, Snella Ange Pambo, says the group wants to use the occasion to show Gabon's unity to the world. He says they are expecting 40,000 people to fill the Libreville Stadium on match days, while the three other stadiums at Oyem, Port-Gentil, and Franceville will hold 20,000 people each. He says they will also sell as a tourist destination.
On a cette grâce d'avoir au Gabon plus d'une quarantaine d'ethnies, donc plus d'une.
He says Gabon has over 40 ethnic groups with a diversity of cultures and traditional practices that visitors and viewers all over the world will discover. He says the world should get set to discover the density of Gabon's rich cultural heritage and ancestral cultures and traditions. Supporters of Gabon's team, like Obang Paulo, say they are sure the home team will claim the championship. He says no country should think that they will make Gabon panic. He says they are impatiently waiting to lift the trophy. Gabon co-hosted the 2012 AFCON with Equatorial Guinea, but came up short on the field, losing in the quarterfinals. The Gabon squad plays its first match in this year's tournament against Guinea-Bissau on Saturday. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Libreville, Gabon.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
Joining us now with more Nations Cup news is reporter Samson Omale.
Ahead of the 2017 African Cup of Nations, Africa's best continental sports showpiece, host Gabon have tightened security in the country. Final preparations are underway in Gabon's capital, Libreville, against the backdrop of civil strife and political tension in the host nation. Gabon is scheduled to play Guinea-Bissau in the opening game tomorrow. The biennial tournament is made up of 16 teams played at four venues across four host cities of Libreville, Franceville, Port Gentil and Oyem in the oil-rich African country. Wilfred Zaha scored his first goal for African champions the Ivory Coast as they trounced Uganda 3-0 on Wednesday in the warm-up match for the 2017 Cup of Nations. Ivory Coast opponents in that friendly, the craze of Uganda, ended the country's 38-year jinx to qualify for the games in Gabon this year. The Cranes got a major boost for their preparations from Parliament earlier this week when the Speaker, Rebecca Kadaga, says 500,000 Ugandan shillings will be deducted from each member of parliament and given to the national team.
We had the good news that the Uganda Cranes have again been ranked as the best team in the African continent by the Confederation of African Football. Our very own Dennis Onyango is the 10th best goalkeeper in the world. When we last qualified for the finals, we had agreed that we contribute 500,000 shillings each, support them and give them more courage.
Elsewhere, Ghana, beaten on penalties by the Ivory Coast in 2015 African Cup of Nations final, have also opted for club opponents and overcame Bonyan Dakor of Uzbekistan 2-0 in the UAE in a friendly played on Wednesday. After the friendly, coach Avram Grant expressed cautious optimism that the Black Stars will do well and will work to qualify from the group.
We need first to know that the first game against Uganda is a very, very difficult game. We saw them how they beat easily Slovakia 3-1.
And to Togo, who have not scheduled any friendly internationals, came from two goals behind to defeat top-flight club Diambas 3-2 in Senegal, with Alexis Ramao snatching the winner. On Tuesday, Cameroon and Zimbabwe drew 1-1 in a friendly encounter, both teams using the match to gauge their strengths ahead of the competition. Coach Kalistos Pasua believes the Warriors can pull up some surprises at the tournament despite their challenges with players' bonuses.
The fact that we are here, we have put problems aside. The boys are raring to go, and you can even see the way they were playing. You can even see there was that hunger to win. Of course, we might talk of problems, but again, they were solved, and it's football now.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Keep on the sunny side of life. Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Now let's go to Los Angeles, California, where Greg Berhalter, the head coach of Major League Soccer's Columbus Crew Club, is standing by. Coach, thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side of Sports.
You're welcome.
Coach, during your playing days, you were a defender, and Ghana will be featuring two Columbus Crew defenders at the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations in Gabon, Harrison Affle and Jonathan Mensah. Let's start with Mensah. He was signed by the Crew earlier this month. What skills does he bring to Columbus?
Well, I think he's physically imposing. He's very good in the air. Good 1v1 defender. Reads the game well. And it's very simple and proficient with the ball.
Harrison Affle signed with the Crew in 2015. Gabon will be his fifth Nations Cup. How has he performed for the Crew?
Harrison's tremendous, very, very good player, very good work rate, and a very high level of skill. He's a player that, as a right back, gets into the attack frequently and, provides us with a lot of chances.
Will you be monitoring the performances of Harrison and Jonathan in Gabon?
Of course.
Ghana, four-time Nations Cup champion. They reached the final at the 2015 Nations Cup before losing to neighbor Ivory Coast in a dramatic penalty kick shootout. What do you think, Coach? Can they win the trophy in Gabon?
I think they can. They have a good team. They're well coached. I'm excited to see what they do. But it's certainly going to be a fun tournament. And we're excited to see them play the games.
Are there any other African sides, Coach, that have kind of caught your eye or you think they'll be fun to watch?
Well, I think that tournament, is known for producing surprises. The DR Congo had a great run last time in 2015, caught the eye of a lot of people. Some of the traditional powers with Ivory Coast are always difficult as well.
Finally, Coach, switching to the U.S. men's national soccer team, you played for Bruce Arena on two World Cup teams. What did you think of the U.S. Soccer Federation bringing back Arena to coach the USA?
I think, given the current situation, I think there's no better man for the job. Bruce is extremely focused on the task at hand, and we're in good hands.
Thanks, Coach. That's Greg Berhalter, the head coach of Major League Soccer's Columbus Crew Club. And Coach Berhalter was talking with us from Los Angeles, California. Now let's go down under to Melbourne, where the draw was announced Friday for the Australian Open tennis tournament. The year's first Grand Slam event begins Monday. World number one Andy Murray of Britain will play Ukraine's Ilya Marchenko in his opening match. Andy Murray is bidding for his first title at Melbourne Park after five trips to the final. In the women's draw, defending champion and world number one Angelique Kerber of Germany will also take on a Ukrainian opponent in her first match, Lesia Sorenko. We'll hear from Kerber and defending men's champion Novak Djokovic now. Ladies first, here's Angelique Kerber.
It was really special to coming here as a defending champion, where everything starts for me. It's amazing, and it's a great feeling to be back here in Melbourne.
It's favorite Grand Slam of so many players, and being so early in the season, of course, everybody's motivated, inspired to play their best tennis to start off the season in the best possible way. So I think that's why we see such a great quality tennis during Australian Open over the years.
Novak Djokovic is aiming for his third consecutive men's singles title at the Australian Open and his seventh overall. The Serbian star faces a difficult opponent in the first round, Spanish tennis player Fernando Verdasco. Last year in Melbourne, Verdasco knocked out fellow Spaniard Rafael Nadal in the first round, and he had match points against Djokovic in their recent match at the Qatar Open. Meanwhile, Roger Federer, seeded 17th in Melbourne after a long injury layoff, makes his eagerly awaited return to Grand Slam action with the first match against a qualifier. On the women's side in Melbourne, American star Serena Williams will begin her quest for a professional era record 23rd Grand Slam singles title with a first round match against Belinda Bencic of Switzerland. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 for a look at sports social media trends is the VOA's Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
happy Friday the 13th to you, Sonny.
It's not going to be an unlucky Friday, is it?
Hopefully not. No, not at least so far.
What's trending out there in the sports world?
Well, you know, just if I may, very quickly, just following from that news item that you had about the Australian Open, today is also the beginning of the what's called the Tour Down Under. It's the Australian version of the Tour de France. It runs 9 days. It starts today. And among the many participants down there is current reigning world champion Peter Sagan, who brings kind of a lot of splash and star power to that. So we'll be watching that in the days to come. Well, let's take a look at what's being discussed and trending out there on social media. The first item is really a news item. Now, I imagine our listeners, and Sam, certainly you are familiar with something that's been in the news of late. There have been allegations that Russian agents were compiling a file, a dossier of sorts, on Donald Trump that may contain embarrassing or salacious information, et cetera.
Compromising information.
Of course, we have to use the word information carefully because a lot of the material in that has not been corroborated. Well, now here is the hookover into the world of sports. The same person, the former MI6 agent, who worked with the Russians to compile that dossier and then turn it over into U.S. hands. His name is, this is a great British spy name, Christopher Steele.
Great name.
Christopher Steele was instrumental in gathering information and delivering it to the FBI on FIFA. You may recall some time ago that the FBI made several charges against FIFA board members. Sepp Blatter, of course, had to resign his position. Well, Mr. Steele was the one who worked with the FBI to compile and gather that information. So it's kind of interesting, certainly the FBI found him credible, credible enough to use his information and bring about a very high-profile prosecution. So that's just kind of a interesting crossover into the world of sports, I suppose.
I know we have the big inauguration next week of President-elect Donald Trump. He doesn't share a lot of things in common with the outgoing president, Barack Obama, maybe with the exception that they're both pretty big sports fans.
Well, they are. And of course, Barack Obama, famously an adopted son of Chicago. He's been very proud of certainly when the Cubs won this year. The Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup, I believe, 2 times since he's been in office.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's 2 times. He's had the team there as well. And yes, Donald Trump, a proud New Yorker, and follows his New York teams very closely. So it'll be interesting. You know, in his time here in Washington, Mr. Obama never made it to a professional game. He never went to a baseball game or a football game or a hockey game or that kind of thing.
However, I think he did go to a Wizards basketball game.
He did go to a Wizards basketball game. That is absolutely correct. So, you know, in his time here in Washington, we'll have to wait and see if Donald Trump follows suit, maybe checks out the New York Rangers, or who knows who he might be following.
Well, what else is trending out there, Doug?
Well, you know, we just finished with college football. The NCAA football top championship was held, of course, Clemson Tigers beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. But already people on social media just can't stop talking about what the best teams in 2017 are going to be. It's just like a 365 5-day, I think. So here are some of the teams that are being thrown around. A lot of people have their opinions. That's what Twitter's all about. So here's some of the top teams, generally speaking, rating into the top 10 or so. First, Alabama. Now, of course, Alabama was undefeated until they lost to Clemson just earlier this weekend. So there are a lot of people still rating Alabama as number one. The USC Trojans also had an amazing season this year, including the trip to the Rose Bowl. Number three, the Penn State Nittany Lions. They lost their bowl bid, but, you know, they really turned it on this year for a team that we really haven't seen a lot of, I think you could arguably say, over the past two decades or so. They really kind of turned up the heat this season. Some of the other teams that are being mentioned, the Florida State Seminoles, the Louisiana State University Tigers, the Clemson Tigers, who we've mentioned before, Ohio State, Oklahoma Sooners, Washington Huskies, and Michigan Wolverines. Now, these are teams that are consistently in the, you know, sort of early running. Some of the teams that are not being discussed, interestingly, Florida State not being discussed, Michigan State, they had a disastrous season this year, or I should say this previous season, as compared to several winning seasons. The Miami Hurricanes, UCLA, we're not hearing much about the Bruins. So interesting who people are rating as who they think are going to have some steam this season and who aren't, but we have a long way to go before the first game of football is played there.
Doug, I know college football widely followed here in the USA. We work at a very international place. Do you find that foreigners who come to our country, let's say from Africa or Asia or wherever, do they get swept up in that college football fervor, so to speak?
My experience has been, and of course Washington, not only the organization that we work at, but Washington is a very international city. So you're always meeting and mingling with people from all over the place. What I have found is that people who come to the United States are particularly interested in college sports because it seems to bring with it that kind of passion, that kind of, you know, sort of rooting on that team, that perhaps professional sports has just gotten a little bit too big in the States. It feels a little bit colder, I think. You know, when you think, I remember going to football games, soccer games in Buenos Aires and just watching, that's a show right there, just watching the people in the stands. And that's kind of what a college game is like. And yet when you go to a professional game, I think people are a little bit more sort of in their seats and whatnot. So yeah, I do think that there's a similarity between collegiate sports like football especially and sports as they're played in many other parts of the world.
I'm talking with VOA's Doug Bernard about sports social media trends. What else is trending out there, Doug?
One other quick thing that's trending on social media, and you like him or you hate him, it has to do with Tom Brady. Now, we are, about 3 weeks away from the Super Bowl. It's February 5th, so if my math is correct, that's about 3 weeks. And, of course, already the Super Bowl ads are starting to leak out. This is always a big topic of discussion. You know, the ads that run during the Super Bowl, and now they're starting to leak them out. You know, companies just leak these out weeks in advance to try and get the buzz. Well, the first one that we have seen leaked out now stars Tom Brady, of course, the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He's sort of, I think, having a little bit of a fun take on himself as kind of a superstar married to a supermodel, you know, super rich, super successful, that kind of thing. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, although I have to say, if you don't like Tom Brady, you're probably not going to be inclined to like this commercial. I might put myself in that category. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that coming out. People just kind of chattering about that on social media. And Tom Brady, look, he's one of those characters that, I mean, literally, you just really either love him or you hate him. And that's a natural for social media, I think.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too.
And that wraps up the January 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, will provide $227.3 million in additional development assistance to support the five-year, $2.3 billion agreement signed with the Nigerian government in 2015. The aid package brings the total provided under the agreement to $702 million. The new funding will continue to help Nigeria reduce extreme poverty by stimulating economic growth, promoting a healthier, more educated population, and strengthening good governance. We are pleased to announce new funding under the agreement signed with the Nigerian government in 2015 to provide better access to education and health services and promote democracy and economic growth, said U.S. Ambassador Stuart Symington. With the Nigerian government's leadership, we know this funding will significantly improve the well-being of Nigerians, he added. In addition to development assistance funding, the United States is providing humanitarian aid to people affected by the ongoing conflict and severe food insecurity in northeastern Nigeria and throughout the Lake Chad Basin. The United States has provided more than $291 million in humanitarian assistance since fiscal year 2016 and continues to be the single largest bilateral humanitarian donor to the region. USAID partners to end extreme poverty and promote resilient, democratic societies while advancing American security and prosperity. In its partnership with Nigeria, the United States strengthens social stability through social services, supports transparent and accountable governance, promotes a more market-led economy, and enhances Nigeria's capacity as a responsible regional and trade partner. The United States is proud to work with Nigeria to promote the prosperity of the people of Nigeria and the African region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On Friday, January 20th, the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will be sworn into office. VOA will be there. And we'll broadcast the presidential inauguration live from 1600 UTC to 1800 UTC to audiences around the world. Tune in as we begin the next chapter in American history, right here on VOA.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent, old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Tuesday on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou will discuss improving nutrition, fighting non-communicable diseases, with guest Tamba Ray Stevenson, founder and CEO of Women Advancing Nutrition, Dietetics and Agriculture, WANDA. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. Country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.